Douglas Crook, Sunday PM, August 29th, 2010.
All right, well, let's open our Bibles then this evening, if you will, to Psalm 119. We'll pick up where we left off here in this psalm that extols the benefits and the blessings of the Word of God and tells us why it is so valuable and why we should search it out, why we should heed it, because it's everything we need in this life and in preparation for eternity. And to help us understand that, there are 10 words, titles, descriptions of the Word of God, of the revealed will and purpose of God. There are 10 words that are utilized by the Holy Spirit in this psalm. And so we've been studying those. We're ready now for the seventh one, which is truth. And to find the description of the Word of God as truth in this psalm, we have to go a little further. We've been able to, thus far, for the first six, find all of those first six titles in the first opening verses. But to find this word, this description of the revealed will of God, we have to go just a little bit deeper into the psalm. And actually, I'm going to skip around this evening and read the specific verses in which in our English translation, we have the Word of God described as truth. We'll start out with Psalm 119 and verse 30. We have to go to verse 30 to see the first occasion of this, the use of this word. And actually, what we're going to find out are there are two words in the Hebrew that are used, that are translated as truth in the English. In the English, it uses truth for both words. But there are actually two words that are used, and we'll consider both of them, and they basically do have the same meaning. So Psalm 119, verse 30, I have chosen the way of truth. Your judgments I have laid before me. And then we'll go to verse 43. And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in your ordinances. And then jump down to 142, Psalm 119, verse 142. Your righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and your law, your instruction, is truth. And then verse 151. You are near, O Lord, and all your commandments are truth. And then one more in verse 160, the entirety of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous judgments endures forever. So in each of these verses, we give just a little bit more understanding of the value of the Word of God as truth. And before we get done with all of these, we understand it's all of His word is to be considered truth. Now, before we look at the word itself, we need to look at a couple of other verses where in verse 30 that we read, the word that's translated truth in the English there, that same Hebrew word is used a number of other times in this 119th Psalm, but it's translated instead of truth as faith or faithfulness. Okay? So it's the same word, but it gives us a little different flavor of the meaning and will help us to understand how valuable the Word of God is. So let's look in verse 75, where we have the same Hebrew word, but translated instead of truth, faithfulness. Psalm 119, verse 75. I know, O Lord, that your judgments are right, and that in faithfulness, or in truth, you have afflicted me. And then again in verse 86, all your commandments are faithful. Exact same word in the Hebrew, but in English we have a little different translation, and it's accurate, just a little different understanding. All your commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongfully. Help me. This is interesting. We're taking things, kind of jumping in the middle of the context. The psalmist here is thanking God for his protection in the middle of his enemies who want to harm him and hurt him and kill him. But here in talking about his enemies, he refers to the faithfulness of the Word of God. That's an important understanding. Verse 90. Your faithfulness, your truth, endures to all generations. You establish the earth and it abides. One last one, just so we get all of the occurrences here. So this title of truth, it's an important one. Your testimonies, did I give you the verse? Verse 138. Your testimonies, which you have commanded, are righteous and very faithful. Not just faithful, but very faithful. So we see that these two words that are used in the Hebrew, they have basically the same meaning, and it's this. It is something that is established, something that is lasting, and something that is continuing and certain. This is the emphasis. Now, we don't always think of that definition when we think of truth, but this is a good understanding of the Word of God. It is established. It is lasting. It continues, and therefore it is certain, sure. Remember when we considered the word testimony, that the Word of God are His testimonies, we stressed with that word, the Holy Spirit stressed, and we understood the meaning of the word, to understand the reliability of God's Word. In other words, what we normally consider of the truthfulness of God's Word. And that is part of what's understood with this word truth as well. God's word can be trusted not to be false. That's the main understanding of truth that we have, and that certainly applies here. The Bible can be trusted not to be false in what it presents. It is trustworthy, it is accurate, and therefore it's true or it's truth. But these words in the Hebrew actually emphasize, they stress a different aspect than just being truthful or accurate. These words stress, when the Bible speaks of God's Word as truth, the stress is the enduring character of the Word of God. It endures generation after generation, from past eternity through eternity. God's Word is established forever. And as something that's established and lasting and continual, it can therefore be trusted. In the 119th Psalm, when you see the Word of God is faithful, all the Word of God is truth, the thought is this: there will never come a time when God's Word is obsolete, because it's truth. There will never come a time. Now let's see if I'm going to use a double negative, but I think correctly. There will never come a time when the Word of God is not relevant. In other words, it's always certain. It's always relevant. We read there in the, I believe it was the 90th verse, glance there again and back up to verse 89 to get the full context of Psalm 119, verses 89 and 90. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Your faithfulness endures to all generations. You establish the earth and it abides. Now the earth will actually one day be set aside by God as a worn out garment. But as far as our own experience and every generation of the human race to our time, the earth just seems to be, it's always the same. The Word of God is like that, only even more sure, because this earth will pass away. God's Word will never be obsolete. Never will it be found to be unreliable. His Word stands firm because He stands firm. God's Word is as eternal as Himself. that seems to be something, well, yeah, that we take that, we should take it for granted, and we should. That should be, you know, yeah. But how many times do God's people go to the Word of God with the wrong attitude, rather than coming before, whether it be in your own personal devotions or whether it's a lesson or a sermon, whatever it may be, when you come to the Word of God, you need to come with this attitude. This is the eternal Word of the eternal God. It is truth. We use the word a lot, don't we? And rightfully so. It's a good word. It's an important word. But we need to understand what God means when He uses the word truth. It is forever settled, and it will never change. One example, one illustration of how this word is used might help us to understand why God's word is called truth. Let's go to Exodus 17, where the same word is used in the account where Moses was told by God to lift up Aaron's rod in the battle with Amalek. And as long as Moses' hands were in the air and the rod was displayed, which so many wonderful lessons there, as long as the life of Christ was held up and seen and displayed in the battle with the flesh, there will be victory over Amalek. There will be victory over the flesh. But as Moses became tired and weak from holding his arms up, he began to fall. And when he fell, then Amalek prevailed. It's an interesting story, but it's one that has such spiritual wealth to it, if we will understand it. Well, in order to make sure that the rod was held high, Aaron, and I forget the other fellow's name. Anybody remember right offhand? H-U-R. Helped hold up each hand, each arm. And this is the verse that I want to read, where the same word that we're using in Psalm 119 to be truth or faithfulness, it's here in verse 12 of Exodus 17. But Moses' hands became heavy, so they took a stone and put it under him, a good picture of Christ. You want a victory over the flesh? Learn to rest in Christ and His life and His power. They put it under him, and he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady. This word that's translated steady in this translation is the same word that's translated truth or faithfulness. So we have an illustration of what the word means. His hands were steady until the going down of the sun. God's word is stable, and it will make your life stable, steady, established. The reason that so many of God's people's lives are so confused, damaged, unsettled, is because they do not base their life and their choices on the instruction of the Word of God. And I know that sounds oversimplified, and I get accused of that all the time. But it is that simple. If you want a life that is steady and established and that continually and constantly honors the Lord and constantly and continually enjoys the blessings of the gospel of Jesus Christ, you need to base your life, every decision, attitude, action on the Word of God, because it's truth. It's faithful. It's stable. And it will make you stable. It will make you faithful. You want to know how to be faithful? You sit down and rest on the faithful Word of God. It will never let you down. It will never disappoint you. Only God's Word can truly, in this light, with this definition, only God's Word can be called truth. Man's word can never be described accurately as being truth. And you know why? Even when when we speak something that is true and accurate at the time, even then it can't be described as truth. I'll give you an illustration. How many have ever used a street map that's out of date? Yeah. Andrew, you've been lost, haven't you? We're not going there. At the time it was written, it was true, it was accurate. But things change, and now you rely on that map, you're in trouble. So even when it was accurate, it really wasn't truth in the way that the word's being used in the Psalm 119. How many have ever looked up in an encyclopedia information that is no longer relevant? You ever look for a country and then you realize that country no longer exists anymore? At the time it was true, it was accurate, but it was not truth, because only God's word can be described accurately as being truth. We change. The world changes. Ideas come and go. But the word of God is eternally truth. You cannot say that about anything else. Any other theory, any other philosophy. And if you realize that, then you can with confidence, with eagerness, you can begin to build your life and your choices based on the word of God. Not on the current feeling of society, not on whatever fad is going through the church at any certain time. You're not going to build your life and make your choices based on any of those things, because even though at the time they may seem to be true and accurate, they're not truth. The word of God is truth. Always has been, always will be. Nothing else can give you that kind of eternal guarantee. If you want God's eternal protection, if you want eternal prosperity, you live according to the eternal word of God. Again, nothing else. You can't find that guarantee anywhere. I remember my folks, one of the first on the block who bought vinyl siding. And the salesman, it was a good sales pitch. This is guaranteed for life. About 5 years later, the White House began to yellow the vinyl. Well, that's covered under the warranty. Let's go get our money back. Let's replace this. Only problem is the manufacturer had gone out of business. So you're not going to collect on the warranty. With God's word, the reason that you can build your life on it with certainty is because his word is eternal. It gives you eternal guarantees. And God, the eternal God, is going to be around to see to it that it's fulfilled in your life. That's why you can't get that guarantee anywhere else. There's only one God. Romans chapter 3. We can trust it implicitly because it is truth. The Apostle Paul here in Romans 3 and verses 3 and 4. If you want to be ultimately proved right, you say what God says in his word. If you want to ultimately come out prosperous and right, you do what God says in his truth. Because there are times right now when you obey the truth, people will say you're a liar. People will say you're a fool. Because truth seems to contradict the, what's the term they use, conventional wisdom? Is that what they say? But if you want to come out ultimately as being steady, stable, established, you need to pay attention to what Paul says here in verse 3. For what if some did not believe? Will their unbelief make the faithfulness of God without effect? Now, this word faithfulness is faithfulness in the Greek, but we could easily, in the light of Psalm 119, we could say, will their unbelief make the truth of God without effect? Certainly not. Indeed, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that you may be justified in your words and may overcome when you are judged. If God's word is truth, as Psalm 119 declares over and over and over again, and I believe it to be. If God's word is truth, then everyone and everything else that contradicts the revelation of the word of God must be understood to be false and a lie. It really is that simple. And this, you know, this message on the word of God, you know, I'm not telling you anything new that you don't know. But we need to have this engraved in our heart. Because the world and Satan are so good at trying to make sin and compromise and carnality sound so reasonable and reliable and good. But if we will have this ingrained in our hearts and our minds, God's word is truth. That is the standard. So, because I'm settled on that, and I'm going to, like Moses, I'm going to sit down on that. Anything that contradicts this is false. I don't care how good it sounds. I don't care how attractive it seems. It's a lie. And it won't hold up. But the truth will. That's what it means to live a life governed by the truth of God's word. Allow the Holy Spirit to set that standard in your life. With that understanding, then, every biblical truth is eternally guaranteed. John 14 and verse 6. Let's read a few of the planks of truth that are to be understood in the light and the description that we've just established through Psalm 119. These statements are eternally relevant. And everything that contradicts these doctrinal statements, they're a lie. They're false. John 14, verse 6, Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Brother Doug, it just sounds right that a God of love, it would have many ways to get into his presence and to enjoy life. That makes sense to me. Well, it doesn't make any sense to me because the truth says there's only one way. And so to me, there's, you know, I'm not even going to entertain the thought that, you know, maybe other religions or other philosophies, maybe somehow maybe they might get in. I've heard some well-known evangelical preachers talking to news people to say, well, you know, there might be another way, but I just don't know it. I'm not even going to say that. I know there's not another way because truth says there's one way. And it's faith in Jesus Christ. And that's never going to change. I don't care how modern the world gets. I don't care how every denomination, if they get together and hug one another and say how wonderful everybody is, I don't care. Truth says this will never change. John 10. You can apply this to any and every doctrine of the Word of God. But these are some highlights that we can rejoice in. John 10, verse 27, because the word is truth, because all his word is truth, we can rest in this. John 10, verses 27 to 30. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." Now, that's not new to anyone here, probably. But in the light of what we're considering, do you see the assurance that is ours? This is truth. That means I have eternal life. That means I will never perish. I will never be out of the eternal protection of my Father. Because truth tells me that's the way it is. 1 Peter 1, the next time you say, I love the truth, and I hope you do, and I hope it's true, but the next time you say, I love the truth, understand what you're saying. I love the fact that God's word is eternal. It's established. It's certain. It's continuing and ongoing. And so when I base my life on truth, I also am made faithful, steady, established. 1 Peter 1, verses 22 to 25. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. It is to be something that we are to love one another intensely with pure motives. And you know what the motive is? Honor the Lord Jesus Christ and edify your brother and sister in Christ. That's it. Doesn't matter how you feel or whatever. We are to love one another fervently with a pure heart. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, notice this, through the word of God, through the truth of God, which lives and abides for how long? Forever. Because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers and its flowers falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word by which the gospel was preached to you. Thank God for our salvation. It is as enduring as the word of God. My salvation is as enduring as the word of God, and the word of God is as eternal as God himself. Do you see how simple these doctrines are when you approach the Bible as the revealed will of God that is revealed to us as truth? Let's look at some other practical truth. Romans 8:28. I know you know it, but I want you to read it again. Because if you're like me, when you're going through unpleasant things, you need the Holy Spirit to remind you. When you begin to complain, feel sorry for yourself, you need to sit down on the eternal rock, Christ Jesus, his word. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. No matter what you go through, saints, this truth will never change. This is going to be true in the most tragic times of your life. And unless you grab a hold of that truth as the anchor of your life, you will be overwhelmed by tragedy or heartache, because life can be very difficult. But God's word is truth. That's why David, when he was talking about his enemies, the threat of death, they want to kill me, they want to overwhelm me, but all your word is faithful. All your word is true. That's what David was doing. He didn't have a Romans 8:28 yet, but he had that assurance. He had that revelation that God was going to watch over him. Philippians 4, verses 19 to 20. Philippians 4, 19 to 20. 19 and 20. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. That's never going to change. It's truth. Rest in it. Rejoice in it. Even when your circumstances appear to contradict it, when others tell you it's not true, understand who will be proven to be the lie and who will be proven to be true. It will always be the word of God. 1 Thessalonians 4:13. The doctrine of the coming of the Lord has been ridiculed and mocked by unbelievers since the first time that it was announced. It has been abandoned by the vast majority of Christendom as a believable doctrine. The Lord is coming, literally? No. But saints, 1 Thessalonians 4:13 to 18 is truth. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord. It's the word of the Lord. It's truth. That we who are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. There is coming a bodily, physical resurrection. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Saints, one day I am going to fly. And that's not fantasy. It's not insanity. It's truth. Jesus is coming for me. And I want to be ready. And the way that I can be ready is by believing his truth. By standing on his truth, by proclaiming his truth. I will be faithful when I trust his faithful word. Let's have a song in closing, Wanda.